I'm thankful tonight for the order that God has had in His plan from creation. You know, we look back at Genesis 1 and step by step, the things that He put in order and set it in place. And it started following that pattern and it's continued to follow it to today. To the point that in 2 Peter 3, it says, there's going to be scoffers come that say, where is the sign of His coming?
Yes.
Because since our fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, that in itself is an acknowledgement of God, that the things that He set in place, they have continued on real steady. Well, in the beginning, God created something else. He made a plan for a family. And you know what? He intended it to follow that same pattern with just the same consistency as all of the rest of His creation. It says He made them male and female, and a family was begun. And I was thinking that with that, then God gave us instruction, because we're going to have choices about what we do in that role. So God gave us instruction in Scripture. How to make that family, that marriage, to be a success. And so there were some verses that I'd like for us to look at this evening. Because this is Father's Day. That's part of that role that God started way back there at the beginning. And He intended it to have the same success as all the other things that He created. And there is an ingredient that I believe is very important in that role that I would like for us to look at tonight.
Amen.
And that is giving. You know, when we hear the word giving at church, we immediately think, well, the church must have some financial needs.
Yes.
And they're needing to talk about how we need to pull some money out of our pocketbook. You know what? There is a need for us to give in this role of family. And it's not just one person. You know, if you have a society where there are some people that are willing to give, but you have a whole lot of other people that are not willing to give, but they're only takers, it won't work very well. It also won't work very well in a home if you have one that says, okay, I'm willing to give, but the others are takers. You know, and that's why I think it's very important for us to teach our children from the beginning. You know what? This is a family unit. It is for all of us to give into this unit. Yes, we all receive some benefits from it, but we all have to give to make it a success. So as I thought about this week, some verses came to my mind I'd like for us to look at, because I've never thought about it this way before. 2 Corinthians 9th chapter and the 6th verse. So let's look at this as talking about the family unit and what I put into it. 6th verse of the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully.
Yes.
Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. What if we took these two verses and applied them to a family unit? Purpose in my heart to give, not grudgingly. Okay, I'm going to have to give to my family for this thing to work. But not of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And here's some things that's going to be reaped from it. If I sow sparingly into this family unit, I'm going to reap sparingly. If I sow bountifully, I'm going to reap bountifully. You know, sometimes we think about that just, okay, me giving of my money. I'd like for us in the future to think of this verse as me giving to the success of my home. And I'd like for us to look at another verse. This one is in Luke. In the 6th chapter, 36 and 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. What if we took this verse and applied it to the success of my home by how much I'm willing to put into it? How much I'm willing to give to it? Give, and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I'll reap some great benefits when in my home, in our family, I am willing to give of myself. There's another verse. Because you know what? For my home to be truly successful, it's going to be with each one having an input, each one giving. It's the father. It's the mother. Yeah. It's the children to make a peaceful unit. And I'd like for us to look at a verse about that in Ephesians. In the 4th chapter and in the 16th verse, from whom the whole body, and let's think about this now as a family unit, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the work, effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The whole body, our family unit, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Each part of this family has an input to be able to put into it. So I was thinking about these. You know what? We're in a world where the roles of father and mother and children, family, are really blurred today. But you know what that does? Instead of making us feel bad, this is a great opportunity for us to shine as a family, the unit that God planned to be able to show the world success. There's another verse that I thought about. Because to have that, each one of us are going to have to be willing to give. But you know what? I needed to start with me. So let's look at a verse in John, the 12th chapter, and in the 24th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it will die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So I look at that verse in a family unit. You know what? If I am willing to give of myself for the betterment of the home, I'm going to reap some big benefits. It's not going to be just that single grain of wheat that I've held on to, but it's going to bring forth much fruit. So I thought about the part that I will play in that. There is a song. I haven't heard it for a long time, but I would like for us to look at this. This is usually for us to think about how I treat other people, how I think about other people. But I think it's real important for me in my home. Let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me. Let me praise a little more. Let me be, when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery. Think a little more of others and a little less of me. True success in a home with so much blurred around us, so little success around us. And there's a challenge for me. There are instances that stand out to me of fathers who were willing to give. And I've told this several years ago. A housekeeper came to me one day and she said that she had a nephew that had 12 children and said he decided one day, I'm taking these 12 out, lived here in Oklahoma City. I'm taking all of them out fishing today. 12 of them. And to the South Canadian River. And it had rained that week a lot. It wasn't raining then. It was a pretty day. But the water was flowing a lot. It was deep. And so he took all of them fishing and said two of them started playing right by the bank, playing, pushing each other and playing. And one pushed the other one into the water and it went under. And that child just immediately jumped in, couldn't swim anyhow, but jumped in to try to save this other one. And both of them went under. And, you know, we think that natural affection is something that's dead in our society. You know, because we're inundated with abortion and child abuse and all this, to me it's great to hear a story of somebody that, you know what, natural affection is still alive and well. You know, this man didn't have to stand there and think, you know what, wait a minute, I've got 10. 10's still a whole bunch. I might be in trouble if I tried. I don't think he ever even had to think about it. He went in. And he was able to push one of them to where the others could get him out, went back down for the other one. How he was able to do it, he was able to get the other one to the shore, to the where somebody could get it. But then he went under and drowned. That's been several years ago. But you know what it stood out to me? He was buried the day before Father's Day that year. And you know, we could look at that and say, man, that's a tragedy. No, you know what? That was a tribute to a father that was willing to give to the ultimate of himself. And you know, the verse that says, greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. But you know, I think even more important than laying down his life for his friends is the one that would be willing to lay down his life for his family. You know, we may never be called as fathers to give our life physically to save our child. You know, probably every one of us, if it came to that, we wouldn't think about it. We would be willing to do it. As I was thinking about this, I thought about several years ago, the two Baxter children in Florida, that almost the same thing happened to them. Except this wasn't a father. The father wasn't there to give his life for them. He probably would have if he had been there, but he wasn't there. But it was a neighbor man that heard the screaming. And you know, he didn't think, well, you know what? That's somebody else's children. He ran there and jumped in. And I believe maybe he was able to save one and then lost his own life. And later, as I heard the story, I remember Brother Marty talking about it. Maybe he was down there in a meeting or something. And he said, when I heard that story, I said, I know something. That man is a father. And said, sure enough, he had several children of his own. But there was an instinct down inside him, willing to give of myself for the betterment of my family. You know, I may not be called on to ever have to do that. But you know what? There will be times when for the betterment of my family, I need to die to myself. I have some memories myself of the past. I remember Dad, and to me, his life was one of giving for us as children when we were growing up. Crippled as long as I remember. And it was just an effort to get around. And you know, he had to make a decision in his life. What am I going to do with this? He could have stayed in the house and said, poor me. Look at all the other fathers that are healthy and say, I can't do anything. I won't do anything. But you know what? By watching how Dad gave of himself for us, it has caused me to have a much deeper respect for handicapped people that are willing to push through trouble to have success in their life, to give success to others. Kind of like with Job, when he lost all of his possessions, you know, he could have looked around and said, look at all these other people that are successful, and I have lost so much, poor me. But instead, he was able to say, shall we not receive good and will also receive evil? There'll be trouble that come into our lives along with the good that we have. In all this, he didn't sin, nor did he charge God foolishly. I saw Dad as being that way in our life. Yes. Gave of himself. No, he didn't have to die for us physically. But he gave of himself day by day for us. I remember him telling us a story that when he was a young person, a doctor told him, said, do not marry. Do not get married. Said, should you get married, do not have any children. Because the disease you have, muscular dystrophy, will follow your family. It will follow your children. And you've got it so bad, they will have it so bad. You know, tonight I'm so glad he didn't listen to them. He just went on anyhow. And if they could see his family tree today, it was, I just thought about when he died, I think there was 70 people that had followed down. If that doctor could have just seen how much his advice was followed. But I thought about Dad. I remember he had braces that would fasten onto his leg just below his knee, and it would hook to his shoe, special shoes that he had, because he didn't have the strength to pick his toe up, and he would trip and fall if he didn't have them. And I remember when we used to hear the saying, keep your chin up. You know, I remember later in life, he had to manually keep his chin up. Remember, he had to wear that neck brace to hold it up. But there was something down inside that, he kept that chin up. He was able to see positive things. And when he passed away, people love to see about inheritances. What am I going to get when my folks go? Well, he had a large inheritance, but it wasn't in money. Because he had it figured out, his money and his life ran out about the same time. It was just about even that way. But he left us something that was much greater than money. He taught us by example, a solid example, that life is going to be what you're willing to make of it. It's not so much about the things that come into your life that give you trouble, but it's what you do with those things. He would teach us by example this saying. I remember him telling me this before. He said, I complained because I had no shoes until I met the man that had no feet. Yeah. You know, Dad could look around and he could find somebody that was in worse shape than he was. So I would kind of sum up Dad's life as one of giving. It was a good example for me. I remember he would even show it in his last days that he was alive. You know, when a person with suffering that he was going through, you would think, I have no ability to spend any time thinking about somebody else. But instead, how he would measure his nights of whether he were able to sleep or not is when we would wake up the next morning and see how many of those clay roses he had made to send out to people. If he had a four-rose night, he didn't get very much sleep, but he got a lot done. And I can remember in my childhood the things that stand out to me. You know, he could have just said, I don't have the energy to be able to do anything. He would have probably felt much better to just sit in the house and not do anything. But some of the greatest memories that I have or when we all got together as a family. Probably when we went to Monarch, they thought we were gypsies. But we would take an old school bus, and everybody worked together on it through the winter, fixing it up inside where it had a little kitchen, and it had a bedroom in the back, and it had bathroom, and it had all those. And to us, it was wonderful. Come the first of summer, we would leave Louisiana, and we would head around the United States to camp meetings, living in the old bus, and end up there at Monarch, and then come back home when Monarch was over just in time to start school again. And I thought of those memories. You know what? Back then I never thought about what he had, what he was given of himself to be able to do those things for us. I just remember things like this old bus that we had way back there, they didn't have a check engine light. You didn't know the engine was back in the back of the bus. So Dad, he's always thinking about how can I improve the situation. And so he came up with his own check engine, not a light. But he ran a plastic pipe all the way back to the engine room back in the back. And he would be driving down the road and he'd pull that black pipe up and stick it to his ear and listen to how the engine was doing. And if he couldn't tell by that, the other way that you could tell is as long as you're going forward, you're moving, the engine is doing something. Those memories, you know, those memories came because somebody was willing to sacrifice. And so now it's my turn. You know, I look at some of those things and I say, you know what? I want to be like him. There's a verse that says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, because the end of that man will be peace. You know, I look at Dad and I say, was everything in his life a perfect man? You know what we can do? Is we can look at things that maybe were not perfect and say, you know what, I'd like to change that in my life. But there are some things that I would like to have in my life from that. And so I was thinking about this. You know, we hear about things that people inherit, traits that are inherited from our parents. Well, you know what? You would think that this quality of giving ought to be something that's inherited. If Dad's got it, I ought to have a good dose of it. But you know what? Self has got to be conquered in every generation. This is not something that is passed down through the family tree. Each person is going to have to decide that I value this. And I've got an example that I go years back to think about for myself. And you know, when we were first married and children were young and money is tight, and I'm the one to take care of paying the bills, having the bills paid. So I come up with what I see as a solution for this. There's too much money being spent for groceries. Thank you. That's a fine place for me to work on because I was the one that ate them all. But this is the one that needs to be tightened down on. So I'm working on that because we're too close on money. And then one day I found a motorcycle that I had to have. You know, gas back then was probably 75 cents a gallon, and I just had to have a motorcycle. The motorcycle costs more than weeks of groceries would be, but it fits now in my budget. Cheryl's probably back there listening. But you know, now it fits in my budget. I see now how we will be able to do this. You know, there is a price to be paid when giving is not what the family sees in me. Because really what it did was it told her that somebody else is number one right now. And so, you know, I look at some of those things and I say, I want to profit from those mistakes. I am thankful that we can. You know, we can look in the rearview mirror and see, boy, there's times that I wish I would have done better. What I'm so glad of is Paul had that same looking in his rearview mirror. There were things that he wished he had done different. But what he said about it all was forgetting those things that are in the past, forgetting them to this point, I'm going to change what the future is. There's not a whole lot I can do about the past, but I'm going to let it be a reminder to me, because you know what? I've got children coming along myself, and I want them to be able to see a pattern of giving. May those who come behind us find us faithful. And giving is so important in our home, and not just one person, but all parts of that family being willing to give, that the whole would be a success. I was thinking of the word father. What does it mean anyhow? And I looked in Webster's. It has a pretty simple definition. It's he who begets a child. And you know, there are many celebrities, there are many athletes that they see a father role as being nothing more than that. There was a time where we would hear them call their children scattered across the United States their trophies. You know, the child is much more than a trophy. Yes. A trophy is going to sit on your counter and gather dust. A child may live 80 years and have other children with no role model to follow. I remember that in America some years ago, they decided we want to fix this problem. You remember things like Promise Keepers?
Yes.
A Million Man March? You know, I believe there was a good desire. We see a trend here of fathers not willing to take responsibility in their home, and we see the damage that is being done by it. And we want to turn it around. So we're going to try to get them all together, and we're going to sign some pieces of paper saying, I'm going to do better. Million Man March. The purpose of it? To get them to start accepting their role as a husband and father. Time to make some commitments to family. Pledges were made at that time. Was it successful? I believe the leaders really had a desire that it would be successful. It would turn a lot of things around if it was. But you know what? I could sign a piece of paper that I'm going to give of myself today. But you know what? Tomorrow, I've got to follow through on it. I've got to be able to give of myself each day. So I was thinking about in Romans, in the 12th chapter. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what? We teach that we give ourselves to the Lord. But you know what? This needs to also apply to my family. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice in the home. And then Jesus came along and he gave us an example. This morning, I think we heard a couple of verses in children's class of an example that God gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But then, you know what? He didn't give his son without his son being willing to go. His son was willing too. And then in Philippians, we see the verses that say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, because he gave us an example of giving. Took upon him the form of a servant. Our example is Christ. He gave until there was nothing else to give. And I look at that example now, gets passed down to me. Look at a verse over in Ephesians. Instruction for us today. How do we maximize with our family? Ephesians 5 and 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And here's that giving, and he gave himself for it. So for me to follow this same pattern, to be able to give my part to my family. Because you know what? It will take me giving my part for my wife to be able to give her part. Yeah. I was singing this morning of what we heard in the message about the wife's part of being a keeper at home. gotten the house. You know what? There's only one way that she will be able to do that.
Yes.
If I provide to where she can stay home to do that. You know what? No matter what the world may tell us about quality time, a daycare center still cannot take the place of a devoted mom. And you know what? A devoted mom cannot give her all except that the father gives his part. And you know what it boils down then to is, since I'm the provider, I've either got to have less toys or do more work so that she will be able to do her part. Because you know, as we get older, the toys just start costing more. And just like with a motorcycle, I can justify those more expensive toys. But you know what? When I start seeing the value of what each part puts into this home, then I start seeing the value of, you know, now I look back and the advice that I would give to young people that get married is you would be much better off to live in a something very cheap.
That's so.
And the mother be able to stay home and guide the house. Because you know what's going to happen? There's another generation coming along.
Yes.
And we have heard about latchkey children. Children that come home, you know, I took for granted the fact that mom was always there when I got home. Now, sometimes supper wasn't quite ready when I got home because I was so shy at school that I never would eat at school. I didn't want to eat in front of people. So when I would come in the house, I was starving. And so mom might be cooking supper, but I'd open a 16-ounce can of pork and beans and eat it with bread just to wait for supper time. But you know what? She was there. She was always there for us. And you know what? That has a great value for us. That was her part. But you know what? For our home and for the advice that I would give to young people out in the future, set your priorities, because this is a priority. The man will have to give of himself to take care of providing for the home. The woman will give of herself to guide that home. And I had this example. I've given it before, but I can't find a better one. And that was at work whenever we had water heaters that were going out real regular because of the chemicals that we were having in the water in that area of Oklahoma City. And so they told us that there is a solution for that because the water heaters were being eaten out. They said there's a solution for that. It's called a sacrificial anode. It's a magnesium rod that they would mount into the tank. And the chemicals that would normally eat that tank up would now attack that magnesium rod. And if in a few years you would take that rod out, you would find it was almost completely consumed because it was what those chemicals were going to. You know what? That's how I see our role in a home.
Yes.
This is, and it can't be just one person. It's going to have to be each of us willing to give of ourselves for the betterment of the whole. But the first example that needs to be given is the father showing it first. That my family is so important to me that I will give of myself to the betterment of the family. Now, I may not have to ever jump in the Canadian River and die to show my children. But you know what? I showed them daily when I was living at home by what is first. And to families out in the future that would have young children, you know that there is nothing more valuable than the time that you spend with them. I remember we would have goals of, you know what, there's places we want to go as they get a little older. And it seemed like all of a sudden they jumped from too small to really enjoy a trip to big enough now that they have these side jobs that they would just as soon start saving up money for a car and they don't really want to go. So there are times in there to where in that short span of time, and you know what, we were taking care of Cassidy this morning, and I mean, she's fidgeting, she's back and forth, And I was thinking, I don't know how we could go through that again day by day. But you know what? For the mothers to be able to realize, you know what? There's a certain period of time here.
Yes.
Really for us, there's a time when she just loves to be with grandma and grandpa.
Yes.
You know what? We better eat it up. Because the day's coming when grandma and grandpa's just too old. I got something else I want to do. And for each of these time periods, for me to realize the value of that.
Yes.
For parents to realize, you know what, there is great value when that child is young. You cannot invest better than time putting into them. True happiness comes from giving. And you know, I was telling you, it takes a unit. It's not enough that one does the giving and the others do the taking. You know what? It's not even enough that the dad and the mom are willing to give, but they don't teach the child to give. The child would only be a taker.
Yes.
You know, there are so many parents that say, you know what? I grew up without a lot of things, and I will not let my child do without. You know, there is something that is beneficial to parents to learn about giving, to help someone else, to help in our home. There is something else that's real valuable for a child to give. I have watched something. I watched it with Heather. I watched it with Cassidy. You know, there is something, and it must be something that God put inside of a person. When they will go out and pick some flowers. You know, maybe they pull them up and the dirt's still falling off of them. But their whole thought was, I want to give these to my mom or my grandma. And coming in there, and it's from the heart. I want to do something. You know what? Not only did that make the mom or the grandma happy, but you know what? It did something in that child that they gave of themselves. So it's really important for us, because really true happiness comes from me giving and then for the example to be picked up by my family and they all be willing to put in together in it. So as I thought of today as being Father's Day, you know, I am glad. I'm really glad that we still have that day in America. Is the day coming when that will be It's bothering too many people to have a Father's Day and a Mother's Day, so we let it go. While we have it, and even should we not have it, let's just make every day to be a day that we're reminded to give to my family. Probably will never have to give my life for it physically. But you know what? It's going to be really something that I consecrate to do it day by day for the betterment of the family. But you know what? Just like God spoke some things into existence at the beginning of time, and it has continued on the same way throughout time, this plan has done the same thing.
Yes.
It still has the same benefits attached to it that it had way back there at the beginning. There have been examples, and I think of Hebrews 12:1, seeing we are compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. You know what? In this topic that we're talking about tonight, there are a great cloud of witnesses that we can look back on and see positive of people who gave of themselves for their family. And we will also see negative of whether it was the husband that said, I'm number one. If there's anything left over for the rest of the family, you'll be able to have it. And we are able to profit by the outcome of those also. May those who come behind us find us faithful. That is our prayer.